Liberal, it's not conservative. It's progressive. The truth that empowers. Right here on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Create a Better World is our show, and this song is telling us that we are the world. And the next few weeks, we've got some really great stuff on not only some of the things that have happened wrong with the world, but some ideas, some solutions, and some real positive things, and a shift, S-H-I-F-T, a change, a lot of love, a lot of things happening right now, an undercurrent. The people, protest movements, organizations. I mean, so much is going on right now. This is incredible. But our show is going to really hit this real well on letting you know that the future can be very, very bright. Some good things are going to be happening. We'll get into that with those shows. I'm Bobby Elias, and this is Let's Create a Better World. Divine Aubrey's our co-host. Hey, Divine, what's up?
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm excited as usual. Yeah, that's what I like about you. You and I both get excited about the show, about doing it, getting real good information out to our people, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Wonderful guests that we have on the show. So excited to share with our listeners such good, rich information.
Yes, yes. And not only you can talk about the body, mind, spirit, but I'm going to say this. Let's Create a Better World is, yes, solutions on problems of the world, such as GMOs, which we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about wireless radiation, EMF. We also talk a lot about climate change, Trump, and what's going on in the world. But we always want to put a positive spin on all of these things. And I know you're excited because we're moving more and more into the body, mind, spirit, divine, right?
Yes, absolutely. Just healing and being well on all levels, you know, mentally, spiritually, intellectually, just physically. So, yes, I really enjoy co-hosting the show, sharing this information with our audience.
And I love having you on. You do a great job. Okay, let's talk about the archives. I'll give the first one, the telephone archives. For what I like is that Gary Nall, the owner of the station, realizes that we have a following. He's been on radio longer than anyone, 41 years. And because of that, we've got some people that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and above. And a lot of these people do not get into the archive, the net, online computers. They don't. So because of that, Gary has put together a telephone. And they can call. I'll give you my telephone archives number, which get your pen and paper ready. You can call this number, and Divine's going to give the ones for the online. But these phones, you can call and get, I don't know, there's a little noise in the background. I don't know where that's coming from. But ignore it for now. Let's hope it goes away. I don't know what's going on. This happens once in a while. Hopefully we're not getting hacked. We have been hacked before because this station tells the truth. All right, so anyway, the telephone archives, 24 hours a day, the phone archives and the online archives are on. A lot of people, 90% plus of people that want to tune into our show do it on the archives. because they're working, they're going to school, they're busy, and they want to hear the show on their time, not our time. So even though our show is, and by the way, this is a new slot. We've only had this week, this show about 5-6 weeks now. We're now Wednesdays. You can hear 5 o'clock Eastern time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. We're no longer on Mondays, and this is a better time all the way around. But the archive number to call, get your pens ready. This you can call, and you can hear 5 of our most recent shows. The number is area 701-719-0994. You hit 5 buttons. Like button number 1, tomorrow will be the show we have on today, very likely. It's usually on one day after, once in a while, 2 days after. So tomorrow you can hit this button, number 1, or have your friends hit it. They want to hear the show again, this show today. And then button 2, 3, 4, and 5 are other recent shows. And Divine, you want to give our internet archives online?
Yes. There are 2 ways to access the archives online. The first one would be to go to Progressive Radio Network website, which is prn.fm. So it's P as in Progressive, R as in Radio, N as in Network.fm. And just look up Let's Create a Better World. And then the second way is to go to our podcast, and the web address is www.letscreateabetterworld.podbean.com. And Podbean is spelled P-O-D, and then Bean, just like a bean, B-E-A-N.com. So again, that's www.letscreateabetterworld.com. And usually our archives are updated within 24 hours of the show taping time. So by this time tomorrow, you should be able to access the archives.
Okay. We have three people that died over the last week or so. And then we also have some information about a great, great singer that died 40 years ago who would be 80 years old today. I'll give you that information at the end of the show. And but I want to get into the let's do this briefly, Divine, because I want to get to our guest. And that would be the shows for the next 3 weeks. Next week, that would be August the 30th. I'm looking forward to Ellie Lax, one of our most very, very popular guests, to talk about her animal sanctuary, how animals and children teach each other love. She talks about the problems of the world, and she has some great solutions and ideas and positive spins on all of that. So I'm looking forward to that one. And the following week, Divine?
The following week will be Veronica Gabriel will be back with us, so super excited. Veronica is an exceptional transformational coach. She's a speaker, author, consultant, writer, and facilitator. She's a pioneer in the teachings of A Course in Miracles for over 30 years. And she's going to be back with us to speak on the shift in consciousness spiritually that's taking place and the underlining consciousness that's bubbling up despite, you know, what it looks like on the surface. So I'm super excited to have you back with us 2 weeks from today.
And then 3 weeks from today, EMF, Wireless Radiation, Liz Barris comes on again with us, and she's got new news about a thing called G5. It's a thing similar, a little different, but similar to how they're putting in smartphones, they're putting in powers and things that are right close to people that are affecting us, giving us more radiation. And there's a major bad thing going on with that, and there's some good news, too. So that's 3 weeks from now, wireless radiation. All right, let's get to our guest. I want to introduce him. Sorry, we took so long, Pam, but Pam Leary is an activist. She is the founder of Yes on 37, the really great, great proposition that we had several years ago, and we were winning the proposition all the way to the last 3 weeks when Monsanto came in with a rash of money, several million dollars, and it barely beat us. But other states around the country have won and are going to win, and there's lawsuits, a lot of things going on. But first of all, Pam, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on, and I want to ask one question before we get started. Go ahead, Pam. Say hello.
Hi. Hi, thanks for having me on. And what's your question?
Okay, well, first of all, the main question, starting question would be, for our listeners that don't know a lot about GMOs, it's complicated, genetically engineered food. I've explained that to people what I see on the street. I talk to people everywhere. They've never heard of it. It sounds strange, genetically engineered foods. So give us the real basics for those that don't know a whole lot about it. What is GMO, first of all?
So GMO stands for genetically modified organisms, and it is a complicated topic. And it's gotten more complicated lately. Basically, what they do, they have done since about 1992, is they found ways to go in and play with the DNA of the plant. And they would insert a bacteria in a cauliflower to get a specific genetic trait going on. And they were focusing mostly on resistance to Roundup, which is a known carcinogen now, and to have something in it that's a pesticide that would kill the bug when they ate it. These ways of creating new plants, I mean, we've been doing different kinds of hybridization and pollination on plants for thousands of years, but this is different. This happens in a lab. This and generally speaking, until about 2013, none of these traits probably would have shown up in nature. Like you wouldn't have gotten Roundup resistance into a corn or a soy or whatever. There still are not very many crops out there that are genetically engineered. Basically, what the biotech industry does is they go into different countries, and whatever is the main cash crop or commodity crop in each country, they'll genetically engineer it so they can kind of take over that industry. And here in the United States, it's primarily corn and soy and canola and some other crops. But, you know, contrary to popular belief, although most things that you can grow have been genetically engineered, there still are very few that are actually on the market. The first genetically engineered animal has been approved in the United States. It isn't for sale as far as we know here yet, but it is for sale, and people have been consuming it in Canada without their knowledge because it's not labeled. The reason I keep saying it's changed is because in 2013-14, a new form of genetic engineering came on the market with the discovery of basically how to hack into the genetic immune system. And it's too complicated to go in here on a short call. It can take hours just talking about it. But if your listeners are interested, they can look up CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, Cas9, C-A-S-9, and also gene drives. Those would be genes, G-E-N-E, drives. Those are new processes, brand new, that basically we're being told are more precise, which I suppose they are, but new studies are coming out saying that they found 1,500 mutations in different places along the genetic code that they hadn't anticipated. So it's not like it's just, you know, it's not like it's safe. The important thing to keep in mind about all of these is that we still don't know. There has never been a long-term longitudinal study done on the effects on humans, so we can't really know how they're affecting our health. What we do know is that because new proteins are created, they have the potential for, and the FDA's own scientists said this in 1992, creating new allergies, toxicity to the body, all sorts of stuff. So that's it in a nutshell.
Wow. Oh, that's quite a nutshell. Yeah, there's so much to it, the whole thing. Tell us, what about the words herbicide, Roundup, some of those key words that we hear a lot? I know what they are, and I try to explain to people, but for our audience, could you explain some of these wordage that comes out?
Sure. So pesticides, let's deal with pesticides. Pesticides are a catch-all term that can include insecticides and herbicides. So insecticides are those sprays and things that can kill insects. And beneficial, it's important to know that it's not like they just kill targeted insects. They'll kill all insects. And they impact frogs, and they impact birds and all sorts of other living things. And interestingly enough, they can affect us, too. So herbicides are things that are sprays, chemical poison sprays that will kill plants, trees, you know, anything that grows. And, you know, some plants are affected by some herbicides and some aren't. A lot of people will say, like, for instance, that Roundup doesn't affect us as humans because we don't have the pathway that kills off the plants, but our bacteria, our gut bacteria do. And the other thing about important to know about Roundup is, oh God, there's so much to know. The UN and now California have both labeled it a carcinogen. And we are finding out via Freedom of Information Act and court documents from class action lawsuits that Monsanto basically withheld information and or lied to the EPA, and that EPA had colluders in there. And they are now, the government is now investigating the EPA because we have this evidence that we've been told for 40 years that Roundup is safe, and both our government and the corporations knew that it was not.
Wow, well, that's interesting. Now, for our listeners, this is Pam Larry speaking. She is the GMO, our GMO expert. She's the one who started the California initiative to label all foods, all packages and all foods so that people would know what's GMO and what's not. And we could have won that. We didn't. But you've done so much work in so many ways. Next thing to ask you about, and I'm Bobby Elias, and our co-host is Divine Aubrey. We're here to speak with you. The next question is, my notes here. There's the current of things going on right now with this whole GMO thing. The states, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Connecticut was the first state to win. That was about 2.5-3 years ago. Give us a rundown on which states have passed the law. And I know we can also talk about the countries, because I know that up in the north of Europe, Denmark and some of the countries over there don't even allow GMOs in there, period. But tell us about this country, the state of the various states and what they've done as far as who's won and what if they're going, putting the ballots in. If you could do that for us, please.
Well, I would, except for that it's kind of a moot point. It doesn't really matter anymore what states have won and which haven't, because last year, Vermont, which was going to go in effect in July of 2016, came closer and closer, and the Grocery Manufacturers Association and the chemical companies all joined together, and the Organic Trade Association joined hands with them, made some kind of a deal, and got a law passed, which we call the DARK Act, Deny Americans the Right to Know Act, which does not require on-package labeling. It has a QR code, calls for a QR code or a phone number on the package. So it's discriminatory against people with low incomes who can't afford a smartphone, or the elderly, or many of us. I'm elderly, I'm 61. But, others who don't use smartphones, or, if they do use smartphones for some things, wouldn't know how to do a QR code. It also doesn't really define what a GMO is. It wants to exclude a bunch of GMOs. I mean, like I said, this is a very complicated topic, and it's a short amount of time. People can go to my website at GMO, one of my websites, at gmofreecalifornia.org, gmofreeca.org. To find out more about all that. But basically, they shut down any state ability to label, because that was part of the bill, too. So
right,
Obama signed it into law the end of July of 2016. So that's all pretty much done. The USDA is moving forward with its pretend labeling. And at this point, we're just kind of all sitting and waiting, because they have until next year. Once that happens, then we can start suing them for not having real labels. But until then, we're kind of on pause with the whole labeling thing.
Okay, that's a good answer. There's a lot of things going on currently. I'd like our listeners to know what else is going on as far as the GMO thing. I'll give you a free rein to speak as long as you want. Mm-hmm. And just to let us know the new, most interesting things going on that we need to know so we can protect ourselves and eat the right way.
Sure. Well, you can find out, the foods, they're always trying to get more of these things on the market, and it's really important to stay in touch with either our get in touch with our organization, again, GMO Free California, gmofreeca.org, because we keep people updated as to what's going on and actions that are required. There is a ton of stuff going on in terms of the government trying to define what's a GMO. Large corporate agribusiness trying to get these new techniques pushed through is not even genetically engineered, which would be a total fiasco, because then we wouldn't be operating with the global definition of what a genetically engineered thing is. What's exciting to me is I love the fact that you're turning the spiritual stuff of, you know, mind, body, and spirit, because being an activist is intense. You know, one of the things I noticed during Prop 37 and beyond is, you know, I mean, think about this. People volunteered the equivalent of a full-time job plus. Some of them were volunteering for over 80 hours a week for over, you know, like 2-3 years. And I know a couple people who are, you know, ran until last year. And it can be a soul sucker. Because a lot of times you're always looking into the eye of the beast. So many of us are kind of taking a little bit of a pause and regrouping and finding where to place ourselves. And one of the most exciting things to me is many of us are focusing on local, regional biodiversity areas to feed ourselves and really taking back. GMOs was a huge, wonderful advertising campaign for good food. For real food, for healthy food. It opened a lot of people's eyes. It was just part of the good food movement, though. And I love the direction that many people are taking right now, which is to say, let's look at our entire food system. You know, GMOs was a great entree and an eye-opener because so much truth is coming out about the lies about these corporations. I am so hopeful that truth is winning the day. We've shifted the market. You know, many large corporations are seeing that people do not want these crops. There is so much demand for non-GMO right now in the United States that we have to import stuff, which is always great for farmers, to encourage them to transition. More and more people are contemplating, you know, going organic, and there's more studies coming out showing that, in fact, if you do it organic or at least let go of the genetic engineering, that if the costs go way down and the yields go up, it's better for our soil because we're not killing off the bacteria in the soil, so it can sequester more carbon. It also, and make it more organic, which makes it more healthy and helps the atmosphere. It holds more water. It's very exciting times right now. There's a ton of stuff going on around urban agriculture. It's just a really exciting time to see these shifts. And it's painful because, you know, birth is not always an easy thing. I heard this really amazing quote that right now, not just in the food movement, but in general, we are being called to be hospice workers to a dying world, basically a dying culture and institution of this large corporate control of everything. And but simultaneously, we're being called to be midwives to what's being born anew. And I just love that. And so that's a lot of where I'm putting my focus, is working on genetic engineering. Another great thing that's going on is right now, California has a 13,734 square mile GMO-free growing zone in Northern California.
Oh. Wow.
We have last year Sonoma County did a ballot initiative to do a GMO-free growing zone in their county. And they connected four other counties in Northern California. So now, and then Santa Cruz is another one. So we've got Humboldt, Marin County, Mendocino County, Sonoma County, and Trinity way up north. Then there's a gap in San Francisco and Santa Clara County, but then Santa Cruz is also a GMO-free growing zone. San Diego is contemplating doing the same kind of thing because they pride themselves on their sustainable farming. They have more organic acres in their county than any county percentage-wise in the country. And this is all to protect organic farming from contamination. So it's a very exciting, again, 17,347 square miles. And that's just amazing. You know, on the flip side of that, because we've been so successful with that, there are, like, I think I read today, 28 states that have enacted that biotech's been able to get in there and enact laws where the counties don't have control of their of their seeds, but many of us still do, and I see more GMO-free zone areas coming up. There's a couple of counties in Oregon, and then also a couple counties in Washington that are GMO-free growing zones. So we still have that in many states that we can work for.
You heard that, Divine, our co-host. This is this goes in line with what we, you and I, and some of our guests have been talking about. That more great changes are happening. It's an undercurrent. A lot of people don't know. And isn't this great? Jeez, wow. Some good
it's really amazing. Yeah, it's been really amazing to see the stuff. And my new project is to celebrate and amplify what's going on and change the world, you know, through local food system and, you know, by celebrating and having fun and do it one bite at a time. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
So I like those words. We're going to use, Divine and I want to take that and take note of that and use it for, because we're getting ready to do some shows, right, Divine, on in the future about the big changes coming.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a question
They're
for
here.
Sam. So with GMO, you know, grown facilities or land that's up north, how before we establish one down here in Southern California in the San Diego area, do Southern Californians have access to, you know, that fruit, those fruits and vegetables, or is it only for the local people that are, you know, up north that they can buy their produce at the GMO-grown, you know, farms, so to speak?
Right. I think it's really important to understand that right now, if you were to go to your farmer's market or your grocery store, you know, in the produce section, you asked about produce. Basically, the only thing that you'd have to be concerned about right now are potatoes, because those are new on the market and they're not labeled, a little bit of zucchini and a little bit of crookneck squash, because about 25% of those are genetically engineered, and sweet corn. And I don't even think that there's a whole lot of that being sold in the United States. When I say corn, it's more the maize corn. So you don't find that in your produce, and you don't find that in your, you know, in your farmers markets. The kinds of crops that we have to be careful about are things like, and these are all in the processed foods, like corn chips, corn tortillas, you know, that kind of hard masa corn or maize, as they call it in many other countries and here sometimes. So a lot of the Latino diet, I mean, it's really important to join hands with folks that that have that as their traditional food, because a lot of that's been contaminated. I know that there was an issue with a company down in Southern California, and I'm not going to name them, for number one, because I don't remember the name, but they had an incident at the beginning of this year where they had gotten some corn that was contaminated with a biofuel corn, and a bunch of people got sick, but they are now testing everything. So, you know, so that's an important one. Another one is soy. You know, edamame is a different kind of soy. This is, remember that most of these things that they're doing right now are not foods for us. They're like to grow commodities to sell and make, you know, so that middlemen can make a bunch of money and feed cows, you know, and pigs and chickens and stuff. It's not a sustainable system, you know. It's ruining the land. It's awful. It's you know, it's torturous and cruel and to animals.
And it's killing people, right?
And it's killing. Well, you know, we can't say for sure it's killing people, but what we can say is that the industrial agricultural system is definitely killing people. And GMOs are a huge part of it. And my personal opinion is it's not all GMOs. They may be a contributing factor. We can't, I'm a scientist at heart. We can't know. But we have, I believe, I started this, you know, Prop 37, you know, for 2012. I started in 2011. I believe we have a right to know because we don't have information. We don't have science on it. You know, we have fake tobacco science put out by corporate interests that we keep getting shoved down our throat. You know, also the message, you know, that these are supposed to feed the world, which is just malarkey-parky, because you know, the UN and everybody else knows that this is a dying form of agriculture, and we can either decide to transform it now and do it in transitionally and do it in fun and with joy, or we can, you know, get really screwed over. Because you think about it, all the, you know, like in Iowa, I just heard a statistic, you know, the places where, you know, the breadbasket, quote unquote, they export 90%. They aren't even growing food for people. You know, they're growing foods to export, you know, to cows, you know, and the people in Iowa don't grow their own food. They don't have food there. They have to import all their food. Hawaii imports 90 with a three, they have basically three times they could grow throughout the year, like three seasons where some people only get one. They import 90% of their food. And that's because of the system, food system that we've set up, which, you know, you pick one crop and everybody grows it, you know, to the detriment of the land, the insects, the people, the environment, and then you export it everywhere. What happens if there's the grid goes out? What happens if there is a war? What happens if there's any one of a number of things that I lump under jokingly calling the zombie apocalypse because it's created by a bunch of zombies not paying attention, you know? Our food supplies are cut out, and I can tell you that our government has determined that if something like that happens, like if the grid goes out, which North Korea, everybody's getting so excited about North Korea, they don't even have to drop a bomb on us. They can drop a bomb 200, 300 miles up in the air and completely put our grid out. And that means our government has figured that 90% of us will be dead within 18 months. Dead.
Oh,
okay. So, you know, the more we, you know, and again, I'm like you guys. It's like I have this saying, trust in God and tether your camel. Okay. So, you know, I want to be positive about this, but I don't want to stick my head in the sand and just realize, you know, we still have plenty of time to fix this and make ourselves, and it's fun and it tastes good. And it's, you know, we get to know the people in our community better. You know, it's a great.
Whoa, that's incredible. Great information. Isn't this good, Divine? I mean, this is information that we all need to know. This is giving us some factors that Divine and I, we know the issues. We read up, we keep up, but you're giving us some deep insight of what's really going on. Thank you for that. You're doing a great job. For our listeners, this is Pam Leary talking to us here at Let's Create a Better World, and she's giving us the whole lowdown on genetically engineered foods and what's going on around the country, new things going on. But, okay, for people, what can people do, activists or non-activists, what can they do as far as, what advice would you give them if they're asking you, what can I do about all this? In other words, what to eat, or what can they do to demonstrate or protest or write political letters to the politicians? Give us some insight on what can the average person like myself, Vine, and others, what can we do to help the cause that you're doing?
I think it's really important with the policy stuff is to always be available and just make those phone calls if you're called upon to do so. Because if large organizations or local organizations ask you to call your local politicians or your national ones, it's important to make those calls. But I think after having worked now both nationally and statewide, I don't want to let go of those. It's like I'm not letting go of the GMO issue at all. But I really think our work is local, and because that's where we have the most power, especially right now. You know, Washington, D.C. is in chaos. But what can we do locally? So the first thing is what I call the hierarchy of buying our food. First thing would be to grow your own food as much as you can, even if it's a pot in the window. During the wars in the last century, we grew 42% of our own produce in our yards. Okay, so that's really amazing stuff. Again, it doesn't have to be a lot. You know, people who live in apartments could, even if you grow your own basil, you know, or anything.
Right.
That's the first step, because it also will help train you. Should something happen, it won't be so foreign, you know, should you have to grow your own food. The second thing would be to support your local farmers. And this means join a CSA, and shop at your farmer's market. I know everybody isn't like this, but I am so blessed. I live in an area where we have a year-round farmer's market that is very abundant. I live in Northern California, and you live in Southern California, so you have this too. I buy 80% of all of my food at the farmer's market. And I do that because it's there, because it tastes better, because I know the farmers, and because it's a political statement. Because really, we know how to do this. We just have to do what we need to do. Do you see what I'm saying? One of the things is that people always say, well, you know, food is so expensive. I heard Carla Petrini, who formed Slow Food, say, in the United States, we spend 7% to 8% of our income on food and 17% on healthcare. In Italy, that is reversed, okay? And they are much healthier there, but it's because they understand that food costs more than we're being led to understand to produce. Anything that's cheap is being propped up by the government, and we're paying for it with our tax dollars. We just don't know it. So it's time for us to eat smart and buy from our local peak. The second tier would be of buying. So again, first it's grow your own, then the second is buy from the local farmer and really commit to that, because I mean, if you can't do it all right away, do it in spurts, you know, or do it in levels. The third thing would be to buy from a locally owned natural food store. So I'm not talking about Whole Foods. I'm not talking about Trader Joe's. They would be the, you know, later. But, oh, I'm sorry about there's a train going by. But a locally owned natural food store to support your local retailers. The one after that would be to buy from either if you're in a food desert area, and I know people don't like that word so much, but I still haven't found a better word, to use Thrive Market over Amazon, because, again, it's not a big corporation and Amazon's kind of taking over the world. If you live in a place where there are local other like chain grocery stores, to buy there. Then the next level would be to buy from, you know, the last level, the last place you go are places like Safeway or Vons or Albertsons. And you only go there if that's your only option. But it's only our dollars that are going to shift this. You know, and I keep hearing, you know, food companies are flipping out because the millennials are coming along and they want better, you know, and we could be doing that too. And if we did, if those of us that aren't millennials joined in with them, the switch would happen a lot faster. You know, it's not always easy. It's not always convenient. You know, it's very, you know, and we may need to eat things that aren't in season. We may not get to eat something, you know, if it's not in season, but you know, I eat seasonally, and I can't tell you how wonderful it is to wait for that tree-ripened peach that tastes so much better than an imported peach, you know, an off-season, or the tomato that's been, you know, ripened on the vine. It just tastes better, and you won't know that until you start eating the local food, how much better it tastes. So those are the biggest things. And we'll launch it next month at the Heirloom Seed Exposition in Santa Rosa, but I'm starting a new group called the Good Food Brigade. And it's all about this kind of stuff, and we'll have activities and actions people can take on a daily basis, weekly or monthly, to change their food system locally. And, you know, what we do in our household, it starts with us personally, then radiates out to our families, then our communities, then the state and the nation and then the world. But it really starts here, and it's really exciting.
It is exciting. And what you said about a couple things that you said, Pam, farmers markets, you know, people ask me, where should I buy my food? Because I tell them, don't buy it to the market. That's your last resort, as you said. And if you go there, you want to get organic as much as possible, if there is organic.
Correct.
The stores have changed. 10 years ago, you couldn't find one thing healthy in the store. Now you got a whole aisle of semi-healthy. I won't say totally healthy, but at least they're trying to get better things in there, one whole aisle. But anyway, farmers markets, most of the people that come to farmers markets, you have to get to know which grower, which farmer is better than the other one, because some of them are really pretty dedicated, and like you said, there's certain, you know, certain ones because you're there all the time, and they're right. There's a lot of them in Northern California. We have them here too, but I tell people to go find, make sure the food is really organic, because it's been here in Southern California, there's been a few people that have gone in and said they're organic when they're not, and they've been caught.
Correct.
And then, you know, that's not good at all, as you know. But farmers markets, the food is fresher, made the same day. I mean, grown. The same day or the day before, which is a lot fresher than even health stores. which you got things in there two, 3, 4, 5 days. So that's your second choice. Anyway, the other thing you said about, where's my notes here? You said, I can't find that here.
Can I just interject real quickly? One of the nice good things you can do at the farmer's market is that if you have any kind of a question about what your farmer's doing, you can say, can I come out and visit your farm? And if they hem and haw, you know that that's probably not a good idea. You know, they're probably not as organic as they say they are. But if they're sure we have certain hours that you can come out, just contact us, then you can be sure that they're above board. And I'd be really careful because some people have heard that, you can't really trust the people at the farmer's market. I can tell you that I know people who rented land to large organic companies like Earthbound, and they ruined the land and they got kicked off. So just, Earthbound, I would never buy anything from Earthbound, and I don't buy from CalFresh either. And that's a lot of what you're going to get in the large grocery stores or even the small independent stores, because those are like the big distributed veggies. So, of the two, you can't trust either one, really. But at least this way, at a farmer's market, you can talk to your farmer and you can grill them and see what happens, see how they respond, and just have all your little spidey sense up, are they lying? Are they hiding something? What's up? But the stores are not any safer than the farmer's market, so that's not an excuse not to spend your money at the farmer's market and support the farmers directly.
Right, right. I like what you said about growing your own food, and last time I saw you, you were at Learning Garden in Venice, which is near in the LA area, with David King. Mm-hmm. David King does a great job, as you know, as an organic farmer. He teaches, he has classes. People need to go to different organic places, even small ones, and get their own plot and grow their own food, or buy food from people that are there already doing things, or ask questions, learn. You need to, organic farming is the best way to make your own food. You can grow your food in your backyard, in your front yard, in your house. So people need to start looking at that so we can be healthier, right?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Our whole front yard is a garden where I live.
Know. I know. I've seen that, and I think that I admire people who do that, because why not? I mean, besides, you're actually teaching other people. People come around, they look at this, and they're getting the idea, and they may ask you, or they may talk to each other. They may find out from the neighbors, well, she's growing her own food. Well, right there, you're educating people. So that is
a couple others have started. Yeah, a couple other people have started growing their own food in the front yard, too. So it's just such a fun thing to do, but even, but a lot of people don't want to grow, and that's fine, but then support your local farmers and, go to the farmer's market. I had a friend down in Southern California who actually worked on Prop 37 who said, I'm not even going to my farmer's market anymore because I can get my organic vegetables at Sprout. And I said, wait a minute, you're supporting this food system that, is dying, and you're helping it limp along, and you don't even know. I mean, I wouldn't trust that stuff in there if I could spit, That's I'd right. much more, rather prefer and, trust the farmer.
Exactly. Yeah, interesting. You know, for our co-host, this is Bobby Elias. We're speaking with Pam Leary about GMOs, genetically engineered foods, and our co-host, Divine Aubrey, and I, we need to talk about this, Divine, because I'd like to get on someone about organic farming. I've got David King, I've got some others that have been on the show, and I want let's look into that and talk about it, because as you can see, Divine, this is a better way to eat foods, not only farmers markets, and we talk about farmers markets on our radio show, too, and interview some people. I'm going to be asking you on the side, Pam, how we can reach some people on a national level that are organizing and or can give us some background into farmers markets, where people can hear about them, how they can start their own, or things of that sort. But we could talk about that unless you want to say something about that now. But Divine, we need to get on this organic farming thing. It is along with the farmers markets. Those two things should be front and center to our future shows. You agree?
Yeah. I also want to just interject here. I don't want to be dissing organics, because I still think that they're the best option we have out there. So I just want to be really clear. But like every large institution, we have to keep our eyes on things. You know what I mean? Like, the organic, small organic farmers, I trust explicitly. I really do. It's only, again, when you get into the large organic you know, corporate thing that's, you know, international or national, that you have to keep an eye on them. And, you know, the National Organic Standard Board is a governmental agency, that in the Organic Trade Association is a business lobbying industry. It, you know, so it's more about business than it is about the spirit of organics. And really, organics is important, and we also are looking and redefining organics 2.0, which also, you know, talks deeper about not just not using certain pesticides and inputs, but really focuses on treating its workers well, okay, because that's a huge issue in agriculture, you know, the way the farm workers are treated. And the reason your food is another one of the reasons your food is so cheap is because the farm workers are treated like slaves. You know, and that's got to change. People have to make a living wage and be treated like humans. The other thing that when you grow organically, you can't use some things, but that doesn't mean that you have to change the soil. Like, you can still, the soil, like I said, that Earthbound got kicked off because they weren't treating the soil right. So it's about, it's what we're calling it, regenerative agriculture, where it's not sustainable, because why do we want to sustain a system that's dying? What it does is it regenerates and brings life back to the soil. There are farmers in South Dakota who live in drought, but they're producing, and we've been told that it takes 1,000 years to create an inch of topsoil. But there's a guy named Gabe Brown. You can watch him on YouTube. Good old boy farmer up there, you know, rancher. And he's creating 3 inches of topsoil in 4 years. You know, so there are ways that, you know, the earth responds really quickly when we treat her with the respect and in the way that she needs to grow. And rather than trying to have dominion over the earth, to work with the systems that are already in place, because it's all a big web of life.
Right. Beautiful. Wow. That's great.
Could you give your contact? I have one question. Bobby,
sure.
Excuse me. I have one question regarding, if someone was to grow their own garden, do we need to be concerned about the soil that's in our front yard or backyard?
Yeah, you know, if you want to be really careful, you would get it tested before you do. And if there's any question, you can do raised beds, you know, and use good, pure soil. You know, there are ways to remediate the soil. You can do it in a couple of years. But in the meantime, if you're all excited about growing stuff, do a raised bed or do things in pots.
Okay. Good. Yeah, that's a question. I know my sister was talking about, you know, growing her own garden, and I was like, oh, we need to be concerned. I mean, maybe we should do it in pots, because we don't know what that soil is. So there's companies out there that test the soil in your yard.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much for the work that you're doing on all of our behalf, you know, keeping our food healthy, you know, trying to get it back anyway.
You bet. It's a joy. It's an honor and a privilege, really. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We need, and Divine, we need to let more people know. Like you said, you have some family and friends that are thinking of doing something with their own, growing their own foods. We need to have them listen to this show, for one thing. Secondly, the health show. I'm going to health show on Sunday, and I'm going to let people know, because by that time, by the way, Pam, this show that we're doing now will be on the archives tomorrow. The archives are much improved, and they're not only the telephone archives, but if you heard earlier, the two online archives. This show will be on tomorrow, and I'm going to try to get the word out when I come to this health show, because I'm going to speak there, and to let people know that they should listen to the archives of our show. And I'm going to say button number one for the telephone archives will be Pam Leary talking about GMOs. So we're going to get more boost, and we're going to continue having you on, Pam, and I know for Divine, too. We had a lot of thoughts about growing foods, and this stimulates me. This makes me more and more want to get into this issue of farmers markets and growing our own foods and letting people know what's going on with the GMOs. So I give your contact information to our people, how they can reach you, and read a little slowly for the people that write a little slow, please.
Sure. So my name is Pam, and it's spelled with two M's. So it's Pam at Good Food Brigade. And Brigade is B as in Bob, R, I, G as in George, A, D as in dog, E, www.thetruthfedempowerment.org. And the website, like I said, will be up within a couple of weeks. We've been having interesting adventures with it, and but we're working on it and keep plugging away, and so that should be live soon. And I want it to be a hub. I want to come interview people who are, you know, doing things in their community with food, whether it's teaching cooking classes, because we need those for sure, you know, growing their own gardens, doing policy work, you know, blogging, whatever. We're all contributing in our own ways to shifting this food system to be more just, more resilient, more regenerative, more healthy, and tasty.
Oh, God, that's great. And thank you so much. Pam, one more thing. I'd like to be in touch with you maybe in a couple of months, maybe sooner, and we can be in touch by text, by phone, by email. You're doing some new things, as you just said right there, and there's more and more things that are popping up. This is a fast-growing field. As the world, as we said earlier, there's changes that are coming in fast all over the world, and a lot of them are good. So we want to be in touch with you so we can educate our listeners on the newest things going on with growing your own food, farmers markets, GMOs, what to do, what not to do. So we'd like to have you on again and keep in touch with what's going on in the GMO world. Okay?
You bet. You've got my phone number, and you guys take care, and thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, and thank you. You're wonderful.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was great, huh? That was wonderful.
Wow. Such valuable information, you know, to keep ourselves healthy, make sure, you know, what we're putting in our body. Like I said, I can't thank Pam and her team enough for doing the work that they're doing, and wonderful suggestions on where to buy our food, you know.
Yes. And you know, and for us also to, it's beautiful what we're doing, Divine, you and I, on this show, to educate people, tell them all these new things going on. She has so much information about everything to do with what's wrong with the GMOs, what's going on around the country, and how we grow our own food, the farmers markets, what's new. She just covered a whole lot right there, and this is one of the best shows. So I'm excited, as using your words, because that's what I like about you. You're excited just like I'm excited. But so let's look to the future to do things like that, Divine. What do you think?
Absolutely. You know, with my clothing line, and I do a farmer's market, actually a couple of them, so in Playa Vista. So, yeah, I can speak with the administrator there, which is, his name is Farmer Mark, and see if he's available to come on the show and, you know, talk about the good things, or, you know, that the farmer's market, the impact farmer's market is having on the community. As well as, you know, there's a lot of community gardens now.
Yes.
And I want to make sure. I'm wondering if they have tested their soil. I would imagine so.
Yes.
No, because with all the chemtrails and everything that's going on, that would be one of my concerns with, you know, how good the soil is, even though we're growing our own crops, so to speak. So, yeah, so I, you know, can speak with Mark about, invite him to come on to the show.
Let's do it. And, you know, I mentioned David King. He's in Venice at the Learning Center. He's really deep into organic farming, and he's the only one in this country that's really in touch with a lady named Vandana Shiva from India. She's the number one environmentalist, number one woman that tells us all how we can grow our own food. She's really into fresh foods and totally against people like Monsanto and all this GMO garbage that's going on all over the world. And she said, I want to get her on the show too, but we could talk to David. Also, I had another guest on from the East Side talking about how Latinos and other poor people, he's getting them all involved with organic farming. So I'm on top of it as much as I can be. And now with your help, Divine, we can. So look into that person. That would be great. So let's finish the show. I just want to, if you have anything to say about the next few weeks, but first of all, next week will be the 30th of August. Again, we're on every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Eastern time. Ellie Lax will be on to talk about animals. She has a place over 200 animals she takes care of, and then how the kids from the inner cities come in and learn about love, and the animals, they exchange love, the animals and the kids. But also, more so, Ellie has spoken, as well as anyone we've ever had on this show, about not only the things that are going wrong in this country, but
what we can do about it. And so she's a little different than our Veronica, who you're going to mention right now, in that Ellie is more into what all these bad things that are going on and how we can beat them and how we can turn it around with love and good things. The music's coming on, so let me finish up real quick. Thank you, first of all, Divine. Your wonderful job, as usual, setting up for this show and looking into the future. Thank you to our guest, Pam Larry. Thank you to the PRN director in New York, Jesse. Thank you, our engineer, Kelsey. Thank you, Stuart, our producer. Thank you, Greg, associate producer. Also, Lydia, our associate producer. And thank you, the listeners. Be sure to tune in again next week. We have more great shows coming up. Thank you. We're going out with our song, We Are the World, because we are.